السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حتى إذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور كل حمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول ومن آمن، وما آمن معه إلا قليل. صدق الله العلي العظيم. إن شاء الله we'll conclude our series about Noah عليه السلام today. The last thing that is left, and so we discussed yesterday that Noah alayhi salam made dua to Allah, Rabbi surni, O Allah help me, for those who reject me against those who reject me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Noah alayhi salam. And at that point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Noah alayhi salam that, oh no, no one's going to accept iman after this point. So at this point, wasn't I a book of bi'a'inina wa wahina? Build this ship. And we mentioned yesterday, Nuh alayhi salam started to build this ship, a very massive ship. And people started to mock Nuh alayhi salam. What are you doing? As is the custom of those individuals who follow the instructions of Allah, especially when it comes to parents. Right? Especially in this culture, in this society, somebody keeps a beard, likes to wear Islamic attire, a tie that makes him look like a Muslim, whether it's a female or male. People have a tendency to mock such people. And we talked about that yesterday. Now the ship is built, and they continue to mock Nuh alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam is patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam that when our command comes, وَفَارَتْ تَنُّورِ, meaning you'll see a sign. When you see our sign, then that's when you know. قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا. What is this sign? It's like the water starts coming out from the ground. Springs start to pop, you know? You see water coming out from the ground. And this is when Nuh alayhi salam now knows that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commencing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nuh alayhi salam, from every animal, take two pairs, a male and a female. Now, this is the extent Quran goes to it. Insects, what animals, what plants, what this, what that, how could a ship carry all that? I love that we consider relevant. In Quran, there's no mention of how many and what animals and how many, you know, different species, plants, insects, whatnot. None of that is mentioned. Yes. The Old Testament, in their books, you'll find detail. Some detail, wallahu a'lam, it could make sense, it always makes sense that he did this and he did that. Some of it is just absurd. But nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention it. So for you and I, it is irrelevant. Just the simple fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam to bring on this ship, pairs. And one more thing. Wa ahlak. Now this is very important because there's a story we're going to discuss right after this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam, when you see the signs of my punishment, I want you to take all these animals and I want you to put them on your ship and take your family. Ahlak, your family. Illa man sabaqa alayhi al-qawl. Except upon whom the word has been mentioned. That means, in very simple terms, about whom Allah has already said they're destined to go to Jannah. The word for them has been established, they're not going to accept iman, no matter what you do, they're going to die as disbelievers. Now, this is very important. Because Tunu alayhi salam, he interpreted this as only one individual from his family. Because remember, ahla illa, meaning we're taking out, this is an exception from his family, not from the rest, all the people alive. From your family, mount everybody on the ship except upon whom the word has been written. Now he had considered this to be one person in his family. Who? His wife. His wife. Before I go forward, just understand the description of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this happen. Allah says in the Quran, فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the cloud and water started gushing down. So not only is the water starting to come from the ground, it's already starting to rain. I mean, a rainstorm that you and I could never imagine. An extremely violent rainstorm. And the water, the ground started to gush out water, like rivers. It's just so much water. And wherever the water from the sky and the water from the ground, wherever they're meant to meet, they meant wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined. Now, from this point, everybody who is not on the ship has died. The only people alive, or we're at that point where people are drowning. We're at that point where people are drowning, rather. Let's say that. There's a reason for that. So at this point, the water is starting to rise. It's raining. Now some people, we say, okay, it's raining, there's going to be a flood, or you know, the water's going to rise. Not to the level of like that mountain. You know, you say to yourself, take a very tall building, or take a very high mountain, and you say, you know, I'll go to that mountain. There's no way the water's going to go that high. And such was the case for the son of the Baris. Before I talk about the Baris Salam's son, I want to highlight a very important fact. In those days, it was permissible to marry a non-Muslim. It was permissible to marry a woman not from the faith. And Nuh alayhi salam did. Now Nuh alayhi salam tried to convince his wife to accept Iman. She refused. So he knew when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Illa man sabaqa alayhi al-qawl, he had already lost hope in his wife. She was not going to change her opinion. She just felt like, yeah, her husband is doing this, you know, and you know he's doing it, I let him do it, but you know, I really don't believe in it. And Nuh alayhi salam had already lost hope in her. This is a very important lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. Who is Nuh alayhi salam? He's not just a prophet of Allah. He is from Ulul Alam. When Allah ta'ala talks about prophets, Allah ta'ala talks about select few prophets, five of them, that are superior to the rest of them. Amongst those five, Nuh alayhi salam is one of them. We have Nuh alayhi salam. We have Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have Musa alayhi salam. We have Isa alayhi salam. And who's the fifth prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fifth prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are considered the best of the best prophets. Everybody understand what I'm trying to say? He's not just a prophet, he's considered one of the best prophets. How many times do you find people that will say, I will marry he or she and I will change her, or I will change him? It doesn't happen. Look, I'm not sitting here saying it's impossible. But the Nabi of Allah could not convince his wife, who was a non-Muslim, to accept Iman, then who are you fooling? Your own self. You're fooling your nafs. Your nafs wants something. It's not because you want to change her or she wants to change him. There's something else in the heart that wants it to happen. So you convince yourself, I'll change her or I'll change him after marriage. Be very careful. Be very careful. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows Nuh alayhi salam, you won't be able to convince her. Forget it. It's done over with. That's a lesson that we learn from here. that you should always be mindful of who you're marrying, that they are people inclined towards thee. Don't marry an individual that has no inclination towards thee. Because I promise you one thing. Ba'atin, we read this yesterday. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of ba'atin and haq, we read this yesterday. When Allah gives an example, 2 days ago maybe, when Allah gives an example of ba'atin and haq, He describes it like a flood. Coincidence, we're talking about a flood today. And He says, you know how like a flood comes and it comes and it just comes really fast and then there's that foam on top of it. There's a lot of foam on top when there's a flood. God forbid any of us ever seen in our life being in a situation where our homes are being destroyed. You see, there's this foam that comes with it. And it carries all this dirt and stuff with it. But it covers all the water. Allah says that's ba'atin. It comes in hot. And most often, most people get trapped in that ba'atin because it's so overpowering. But as the example goes, Allah says ba'atin is such in comparison to haq, that eventually the foam starts to dissipate and settle out and it goes away. And that's really what ba'atin is, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it comes with a rush, like that foam, and then it dissipates. But what I'm trying to say here is, ba'atin is such that if you think that you can be, let's say me, if I can go into a club, a nightclub, and I can give da'wah, I'm fooling myself. It will have an effect on me. This is also a lesson we learn here. Because the next person who we're going to talk about is Nuh alayhi salam's son. This is the second lesson we learn. What's the second lesson we learn? The company your children keep. The company your children keep. If you're not mindful of who your kids' friends are, and one day you wake up and your son once had nothing to do with Islam, then you're fooling yourself to think that he just woke up one day with this feeling. It's who he kept his company with. And who do you think, and wallahu a'lam if his name is Kan'an, it's not mentioned in Quran, but it's mentioned in the other books. Who do you think he was keeping company with? He was more inclined towards his mother. And his mother didn't believe what her husband was saying. She didn't believe in it, so you know, she tells her son, just ignore him, you know? Don't worry about him. And he was more inclined towards his mother's side of the family, who didn't accept Islam. And he hung out with them. And what was his foolish behavior? What happens? Let's talk about the story of Nuh alayhi salam's son. And Allah mentioned it right after this. Nuh alayhi salam, he sees the water, it's rising, but he knows what's going to happen. And he says, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَكَانَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ مَعَنَا وَلَا تَكُن مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Now, he says to his son is alone on the side. The water is coming, the water is rising. And he tells his son, now, after his son has already been influenced for so long, it's not to say Nuh alayhi salam didn't try, and I'm not saying Nuh alayhi salam let his son be there, but I'm saying his son has been influenced for so long, and he tells his son, come to me, come on the ship, I'll save you. A father calling his son out of love for him. Don't be with the disbelievers today. Don't be with the disbelievers today. And what does he say? قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمَنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He says, I will ascend the mountain. It will protect me from the water. He told his son, no one is going to be saved today إِلَّا مَرْحَمٍ, except upon whom my Lord has rahmah. And those are the people on this ship. Here's another lesson we learned. How many times do we try to use our intellect against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or rather, against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the commands of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe, subhanAllah, I'm talking very personally. Maybe none of you guys deal with this on a daily basis. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I deal with it on a daily basis. Alhamdulillah, I'm not in that field that I'm all constantly going out and talking to people. But you know how often we will tell people, look, this is what comes in hadith, this is what comes in Quran, this is what comes in hadith, this is what comes in Quran. And they try to use their own intellect to interpret this deen. Here, a prophet of Allah is saying, the only way you can save yourself is doing what I'm telling you to do. And how often, where there will be a hadith, there will be a verse, and people will say, no, the prophet saw someone was lying, he would have done this. How many times have we heard that statement? He would have done this. Is to say, our intellect is superior than that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know better. We know he would have done this. Had he seen what's going on, he would have said this. Here, he's telling his son, the Prophet of Allah is telling him, you can only be saved by doing what I'm telling you to do. You can only be saved by doing what your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you. I always say this, when it comes to any sunnah, yeah, simple things like eating with your hands, something drops on the floor, you pick it up, make sure there's nothing najasa or any dirt on it, and you eat it. Nothing 3 second, 5 second bakwas rules that they make up. We eat it. It's the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do it. We don't waste food. And people sit there and get disgusted and say, SubhanAllah, understand this. If you can't follow it, don't mock it. Make dua Allah gives you the tawfiq to practice it. If you can't follow it, don't mock it, and make dua Allah gives you the tawfiq to follow it. That's it. You can't do it, you can't do it. But don't mock it. Don't think you are superior and you know better, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make a decision, then a believing man and a believing woman have no choice in the matter. We don't question it. I'm not sitting here saying, it's hard sometimes, because we are influenced by the society we live in. But just say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, Allah give me the tawfiq to practice on it. And so, we know his son decided that he was going to ascend the mountain, but the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that he would be from the Mughraqeen. And he was also from those categories, that category of people, where Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْمِ. Meaning, take your family on the ship, except those upon whom the word has written. And at that time, Nuh alayhi salam was of the opinion that it was just his wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to Nuh alayhi salam that it's not just your wife, but it is your son as well. Now, Nuh alayhi salam was unaware of this. So after his son passed away, very briefly I'll mention it, there's lessons in it, there's humbleness in it, there's an understanding in it. But Nuh alayhi salam was confused, because Allah said, Ahlak, from your family they'll be saved. And so he didn't think his son was going to drown. So he calls out to Allah, he says, وَنَادَى نُوحَ رَبَّهُ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ بَنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. He tells to Allah, my son, he was from my family. I thought you told me my family was going to be alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you something. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ أَمْلُ غَيْرُ صَلِحٍ. He's not from your family. Because it's not about blood. It's not about blood today. He says his actions were not righteous. His actions were not righteous. You cannot save someone based on blood relations. It's only your a'mal. And in that, I'm sure many of us have heard many lectures about this subject. I just want to very briefly go over it. Nuh alayhi salam, having this confusion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like the questioning to Nuh alayhi salam. إِنْ يَعِذُكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. You know, you're asking me about مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, something you have no knowledge of. If I'm telling you, if I drowned him, then I'm telling you that was the right thing. That was the right thing. And Nuh alayhi salam, right away, he humbles himself. He says, you are right, Allah. You know best. How many times do we make dua to Allah for something? We want something. We think it's going to happen. And we might see signs towards it, and then it doesn't happen. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. We are pleased with Allah. We are pleased with Islam as our religion. We are pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our messenger. We are pleased as Allah is our Rabb. So, this very story continuing on, this, we're ending with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as after everybody has passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ardu bala'i ma aki wa ya sama'u aqli'i. Okay, the ground, swallow, take the water back in, the sky, stop raining. And what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِ. Judi is a mountain, it's near the Iraq area, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the ship stop at that area. They didn't know where they were going, and then the ship stopped in Mount Judi. There's a little bit more detail in the Old Testament about what it is, where exactly it is. It's somewhere in the Iraq area. It's not relevant to us. There's some pictures you can find online, that they have an image of the land that may look like that's where the ark was. Wallahu a'lam. And, you know, there's a last question that remains, and this is just more information than anything, that did the flood cover the entire world, or did it cover that specific area? there are two different opinions. I personally am of the opinion that the world was not that spread out yet. You know, Adam alayhi salam, there's only about 10 generations, so they had not traversed the entire earth. And so the land that was flooded was the land where the people were populated in. And everybody passed away, that's for sure. That's what we learned from Quran, that's what we learned from Hadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.